come out and ate breakfast. We had a good turnout, and I hope everybody enjoyed it. We're going to open up with prayer, and then we're going to watch a short video that Eddie Culver put together about some years have passed, some Sunday school pictures. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us this time to come this morning and celebrate the children and the adults getting older as we promote and through the Sunday school classes. And I pray that each one enjoys Sunday school every Sunday and looks forward to coming. I pray that you'll bless this program and everything that's said and done will be to your honor and your glory. And I pray all these things in your name. Amen. Dr. Walls, if the music's going to be distorted, just turn the volume off and let's play the video. Apologize for the technical difficulties with the sound, but we just put this video together just to show the importance of coming and bringing your children out on a continual basis, because we consistently tell them to get up and go to school or get up and do this, but do we consistently tell them to need to be in church? It's something to think about. Like I said, you saw some faces that are grown up or maybe married and moved on, or some that's been promoted to heaven already that the Lord's already called home in the video. At this time, Melissa and Miss Lynn's got a program they're going to do with the children. Which one?
I'm glad we have promotion day so we can move ahead.
Don't worry about God's holy word.
My favorite teacher's name.
Isn't it fun to watch us grow?
My, how the years fly by.
It was only a few years ago.
I was mentored and wanted to cry.
I am being promoted today and my heart is glad about it.
I owe it to my mother,
my teacher, and my dad.
This Bible in my hand, I hold it close to my heart.
It tells about God's love
and that I need Jesus in my heart.
More like Jesus we shall be.
That means you.
That means me.
At this time, we're going to pass out promotion certificates. When I call out the class, if the teacher for that class will come up and pass out certificates to each one in their class. We're going to start off with the nursery, Miss Lynn Dukes. Miss Mary Watts is going to come. All right, Miss Lynn's got her hands full. Here you go.
We have Belle Hardy. Most of our kids already moved up as they got bigger.
As your name's
so
called,
somebody needs to have a baby so we can have some more in the nursery.
Are you volunteering?
No. Here you go, Miss Belle.
Miss Carly Floyd. Owen Jordan. I know I saw him. Dory Knowlton. George Harris Knowlton. Abigail Lavender. And Stella, is Stella here? Stella Welch? I hadn't seen her. Okay.
Thank you, Mary. The next class is Miss Terry O'Neill's class, the toddlers class. There's a microphone right there, Miss Terry. Okay. Are they trying to get it on video?
All right, I have two, Mac Knowlton and Emma Webster.
Next class is Miss Sarah Green's class, the pre-beginners.
Okay, I have Sadie Watts. Jake Robinson. Addie Knowlton. Rivers Baird. And Eli Welch.
Next class we have is the beginners class, and Ms. Dawn Jordan is the teacher.
I have Blease Hardy. Maddie Coker Kelly. Jonathan Lane. And Carlisle Lavender.
Our next class is our primary one, and Miss Teresa Walls.
I just want to say I have enjoyed this class so much, and I hate to see all of them go. The first one I have is Anne Grace Knowlton. Allison Lane. Murphy Robinson, Kendall Sexton, Abby Welch. And George Wingard.
Going to skip over our primary two. We got something special for them. We'll get to them at the end. Our next class is the junior boys and girls, and this is Miss Ellen Moore as the teacher.
Okay, my whole class is being promoted, and we have a good many. Jeb Green. Hayden Powell. Carson Moore. Chase Shearer. Kenny Gibbons. Chelsea Jordan. Annabelle Lane. Tony Lynn Robinson. She had already been promoted, though, I thought. Ireland Welch. Savannah Wingard.
Well, our next class is our senior high. I'm sorry, Benny. I'm gonna let Benny go ahead and do his class then.
I swiped my certificates without Brant knowing. I didn't. I got five young men who will be moving up to the senior high class. Justin Evans, Gavin Gibbons, Wes Gibbons, Drew Moore. Must not want to move up. And Lane Robinson.
Next class is the young teen girls, Miss Deb Osborne's class.
Deb's not with us today, but she has one young lady being promoted, and that's Miss Ellie Floyd.
All right, next class is Mr. Rocky Knowlton's class, the senior high class.
All right, we have got four that are moving up from the senior high class to the college age class, and our first one is Miss Drew Floyd. Miss Drew's not here. I was going to try it without him, but it didn't work. Avery Ham. No. Austin Huggins. Corey Shearer, is he here? We are 0-4.
Avery,
I'm sorry. Didn't see you slip in.
I'll keep it. All right, our next one is Miss Betsy Jordan's class, the primary two class. She done slipped out. All right. When I call your name, how about come forward, please? All right, Miss Bessie has four moving up, and the church is going to present you with a Bible when you move up out of the primary two class. Andrew Sullivan. John Michael Hardy. Lily Robinson. And Charlie Floyd. I don't think Charlie's here this morning. All right, we're going to give out the perfect attendance pins for everybody who's got perfect attendance. That's awesome that you can come this many years without being sick and not missing Sunday school. Our first one is Miss Carly Green. She's got 10 years. Let's give each one a hand as they come up. Ooh. 11 years is Jeb Green. Ooh. 11 years, Miss Mallory Green. We have another 10 years, Miss Sarah Green. Scott Green with 14 years. Mr. Kent Gibbons has 17 years per attendance. Mr. Skippy Osborne has 42 years, but they don't have a pen for going up that high. So we just had to give him a piece of paper. I'd like to thank each one that helped this morning. Melissa and Stephanie were in charge of the program, and Eddie made the video for him. It wasn't Eddie's fault. The video had the funny sounds. I heard it the other day, and it was perfect, so it wasn't anything Eddie did. Something happened in the sound room or something with our equipment here. Blame it on Daddy. Anyway, thank you for each one who helped with the breakfast this morning. We might try to do this on every year because we had a good turnout, and I hope everybody enjoyed the donuts. If you didn't, blame Benny. He went and picked them up. But I'm glad Allison didn't end up with 200 dozen like she had originally. They had confirmed her order with to begin with. She wanted 200 donuts, and they wrote down 200 dozen. We'd have been all taking a dozen home apiece. But anyway, if you didn't get a certificate and you were supposed to get one or anything like that, please see me, and we'll try to get it corrected and get you a certificate. I apologize for any issues that we may have had. All right, we're going to close with prayer and dismiss, and I encourage each one of y'all to stay for lunch if you can and support the youth. They're having a youth dinner back there today after the service. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us this time to come and celebrate the promotion of these children, and I pray that as we go to our classes, if we have time, we'll study your word and just be with Dr. Walls. He brings the sermon this morning, dear Lord, and I pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to see all of you in the Lord's house today, and any guests we have with us, I'd like to say welcome, and it's great to have you, and I hope you can be with us again sometime. I only have one announcement to make. Everything else is in the bulletin, but I did want to highlight that our fifth Sunday night community service will be at Maranatha. That's on Horse Ranch Road at 6 p.m., and fifth Sunday night does not mean take the evening off. That means let's go fellowship with other believers at another church. I know I had a couple of people with announcements. Allison, did you want to say something about?
Hey, it is in the bulletin. Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, we're having a information meeting about starting a Christian Learning Center here in our schools. And if you don't know what that is, that's why you come to the information meeting tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. We'll be having spaghetti. But I will tell you this, it's Bible classes taught off campus, and kids get credit for it. So if we want to honor the Lord and actually make him known, make Christ known, like our bulletin says, this is a great opportunity for our church and our community. So please come at 6 o'clock and invite friends from all churches to come help, and let's just see what the God's will is in this. So thank you.
Gals. Melissa, did you? Back here behind.
I just had something on my heart this morning. So I just wanted to tell the children that participated in the promotion Sunday this morning that they did awesome, and I'm very proud of them. They did everything I asked them to do, and they learned their parts, and they did so good. And I just want to encourage everybody. I'm guilty of it. Everybody that's, you know, their children are growing up, and they kind of getting out of the loop of the little ones. I want to encourage you to get to know these little ones. They're just really cool, really awesome, and I just want to encourage you to go to all the, you know, you're all invited when they do things for the little kids, and I just want to encourage that.
Okay, that's all I have. Are there any others before we? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Patrick, I'm sorry.
I have two. The first one, we have a youth dinner this afternoon right after service. Barbecue turkey, rice, green beans, rolls, and dessert. Donation if you have it. If not, just come on and eat and have a good time of fellowship. Number two, September 26th, we are going to host a game night. That's a Saturday evening from 5 to 8. It's first grade and up, and that up goes to, if your heart's still ticking, you're invited. And the plan is we're gonna feed them, feed who shows up, and we'll have board games and all that other stuff. We have different games around the fellowship hall. Come and get to know the kids. Come try to beat them in Monopoly, checkers, or whatever, and then we do some outside games if the weather permits. So put that on your calendar, September 26th, game night at TSMC. Thanks.
Scott, did you have something? Thank you, Scott. Ms. Juliet? Yes, ma'am, it's a good example. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this wonderful day, Lord, and so much for the privilege and the honor, Lord, to be in your house, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for each and every one of us, Lord, for having the health, Lord, to be here today. And Father, that's a blessing in itself, Lord. Father, Lord, we just ask that you just be in our service now, Lord, as we worship you, Lord, through song and through a message, Lord. Father, we just pray, Lord, that we'll be obedient to you, and Lord, that we'll listen to you, and Lord, Father, this is all about you. Father, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Truly, we can say again this morning, as a family in God, this is the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing in it. Beginning our worship service, let's join together in a call to worship. We have come into his house, followed by number 4, How Great Thou Art. And please stand as we worship the Lord in song. We have come together to sing together. Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for a grace that is just always sufficient and always enough. We thank you for all the good gifts that this day is going to bring to us. And one of the best gifts we have is this time where we gather ourselves together to worship you. We thank you that regardless of what else comes this day, we know that you're going to be with us and that you're going to take care of us. We thank you that there is nothing in life, there is nothing in death, there is nothing this day can ever bring to us that can separate us from you and your love for us. And it is in response to that love that we come and we surrender ourselves anew to you this day. Lord, that's what worship is about. It's about opening our hearts to you and allowing you to speak to us and to direct us to you. We yield to you all that we are, all that we have, because we want to be wholly and unconditionally given to you. Lord, use us however you want to. Lord, take away from us all the preoccupations that we often have with ourselves and our circumstances, and enable us to live a life that is truly self-giving and is loving. Use us this day so that you can touch lives through us. And Lord, it is in response to you and to your invitation that we come. We want to sit at your feet, to look up to you, to listen to you. Lord, to meet you again. Lord, help us that in this moment of worship, that we might truly sell out all that we are, giving everything that we have to you, that you might draw us closer to you, that we might, Lord, become more like you, that you might then send us forth to be your church in the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Have our ushers come forward to receive our morning tithes and offering. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this day, Lord, and Father, we realize that all gifts come from you, Lord, And all that we have comes from you, Lord. And, Father, you've given us much. Father, as we give back that portion, Lord, that we've decided in our hearts to give you, Lord, Father, we just ask that you just bless it, Lord, and multiply it for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
All of God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Victory is found in Calvary. Before Pastor comes and shares the message this morning, we invite you to turn with us to hymn number 522. And right before he comes following this number, Brother Joy Hickman is going to come and share a special selection. And while we're singing this particular song, we'll dismiss our children and children's workers for their place of worship. Number 522, He Lifted Me. And will you stand together as we worship in song at this time? In loving kindness, singing together. Thank you. Thank you, church, and you may be seated.
All right. He lifted me, and I need some men to come up here and help me sing "It Is Good With My Soul." I noticed I'm out there that can sing, and this song just sounds real good with a lot of men. Huh?
Where you at?
I don't know any more that can sing out there than that now. Huh?
What page?
493. Oh, yeah?
493. Good call, brother. I'm going to sing with you.
This will be the male choir, huh?
Yeah.
Don't hide any, Joy. Huh? Yeah. Practice will be after choir practice this Sunday night.
Yo, yo. I'm going home, y'all sing.
You just home in tune.
That's right.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
I think so. I think there's not enough chairs to hold everybody when we... Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I was going to start with Play It Again, Sam, but I guess it should have been Play It Again, Mary, I guess, and let them sing again. Or how about Here's Looking at You, Kid? Or I Got the Feeling We're Not in Kansas Anymore. Or You Can't Handle the Truth. The truth is there are certain lines in certain movies that are memorable. They tend to hang around for a long, long time. And even the title of the message is from one of those movies. The actor was Tom Hanks playing Commander Jim Lovell on that fated Apollo 13 successful failure mission where they had all those problems and they didn't know if they would get our astronauts back alive, but they did. Well, it's early in the movie, and there's been an explosion, for those of you that are familiar with it, but there's been an explosion, and things are really bordering on being totally out of control, and Tom Hanks, playing Jim Lovell, keys the mic and says, "Houston, we've got a problem." And the truth is, in real life, they didn't realize the depth of the problem that they had. Well, borrowing from that line, I say this morning, people, we have a problem. Now, a former boss of mine used to say that problems were made to be solved. And I like that about him. I like the fact that it didn't matter what came up. He always believed that every problem was simply an opportunity to find what God wanted to do in order to bring God, to solve the problem and to bring God glory. And the truth is, if you're going to solve any problem, you've got to know what the problem is. But the problem is, many times our problems mask themselves as a lot of different things. And sometimes you've got to dig deep in order to find the true problem. See, the problem really wasn't that he always threw his clothes on the floor and expected her to pick them up. The problem was, she felt like he was simply taking her for granted. Totally different things there, you see. Look, you got to figure out what's going on before you can treat it, right? That's what doctors do. I mean, they diagnose. I don't want a doctor treating me for heartburn if I'm having a heart attack. I want them to go through the process and make sure that they figured out what the problem is. People, we have a problem. And it's a huge problem. Some try to ignore it and sweep it under the rug. Some deny it. Some even pretend that it just doesn't exist. And to me, that's crazy. And I'll go ahead and say it this morning. I think it's also stupid. No, we don't need some sort of diagnostic app running in the background in order to tell us what our problem is. We know exactly what it is. Oh, it may mask itself in many different ways, but we know what the problem is. And we even get real innovative in explaining why it really isn't our fault in the first place. And yet this problem continues to ruin lives, tear families apart, destroy friendships, turning friendships into enemies, turning Christians against Christians, and even has the power to split churches. At its absolute best, it keeps Christians from knowing the fullness of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And at its absolute worst, it separates people from God for an eternity. An eternity is long, and hell is real. People, we've got a problem. And I don't know about you, but I associate very much with the words that the Apostle Paul wrote to the people, to the church in Rome. In our text this morning, for those of you that want to turn there, it comes from chapter 7, starting with verse 14, if you'd like to stand for the reading of the word. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want, that I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. And so I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? You may be seated. It would be absolutely great if our problem didn't exist once we came to Calvary and asked Jesus to be into our life. But it doesn't. And though many of us like to act like it's no big deal, it is an absolutely huge deal. It's a huge deal because God won't tolerate it, nor will God overlook it. And I think it's time, and I know a lot of times you don't hear it preached anymore, but it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God, angry because of the sin that is in us. It doesn't have to stay in us, but we choose to keep it in us. The truth is, eternity is real and hell is long. And if we choose that, that's where we spend eternity. See, we can run all the spiritual diagnostics that we want, but it always shows up. And I mean, we know we've got a problem. And just because we know we've got a problem, that doesn't solve it, mind you. That's the first step, but it doesn't solve the problem, does it? Doesn't keep it from messing up our lives. Paul understood full well that he had a problem. And look, I can tell you this morning that if I know that I have to eat right and exercise in order to have a more healthy life, but if I never do it, what good is it to me to know that I ought to? If I know that I should read the Bible and pray every single day but never do, what good is it to me? If I know that I need my brothers and sisters in Christ and we need to come together on a weekly basis in order to encourage and build each other up, and yet I never come, what good is it? See, Paul was clear. He knew the right thing to do, and he even said, I want to do it. He just had a problem pulling the right thing off. I mean, the wrong stuff, the stuff I don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing, he said, and the right stuff, you know, the things I know that God wants me to do, he said, somehow I just don't do it. I know that feeling. The truth is, sometimes I'm just flat out tired of being me. I'm just flat out tired of missing the mark in my life. I get so tired of doing the sinful thing. And the point is simply this. It's not about resolving. You know, I'm just going to do better. I'm not going to let it get me anymore. See, it's not about resolving that we aren't going to do it. I mean, think about Jesus the night that he was betrayed. He told the disciples, you know, each and every one of you, each and every one is going to deny me and walk away from me. And in my mind, I see Peter looking Jesus square in the eyes saying, look, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And it says all the others, you know, the rest of the disciples, they all said the same thing. And yet within hours, there's old Peter saying, I don't even know who that guy is. Now, I believe Peter was serious when he made that proclamation that he would never deny Jesus. I believe that deep in Peter's heart, he didn't want to do it, but Peter couldn't pull it off. He saw the better thing, the right thing, but he chose to follow the worst thing.
And I don't know about you. It just doesn't make any sense to me, does it? Does it make any sense to you? It doesn't to me. I don't understand it. It's kind of like five-year-old Billy. He walks into the living room, and there's his slightly older sister, and she has built a tower of blocks, and she's still working on it. And he knows. He absolutely knows deep in his heart. He's five, but he knows. He knows he shouldn't grab that one little red block at the base of that tower, because if he grabs that block out, the tower will come tumbling. He knows that if he does it, his sister's going to get upset. He knows he's going to get popped by his mom or dad. He knows this, and yet what does little Billy do? He walks over and he grabs that little red block, and down comes the tower. He knows better, but he does it anyway. Does it make any sense? It's kind of like the story of the scorpion and the turtle. And the scorpion comes up to the turtle and says, "Hey, give me a ride to the other side of the river." And the turtle says, "No, there's no way I'm going to do that. Because about halfway across the river, you'll sting me and I'll sink and I'll drown, I'll die." And the scorpion says, "But that's not logical. Because if I sting you and you drown, then I'll drown too. So it doesn't make any sense for me to do that." Turtle thought, I think that makes sense to me, right? So he says, sure, hop on. They get about halfway across the river, and the scorpion stings the turtle, and they both begin to drown. And the turtle says, "Look, I thought you said it didn't make any sense to sting me." And the scorpion says, "Look, it's not about logic. It's just my nature." Look, it doesn't make any sense, folks. But it is our nature, unfortunately. That sinful, fallen nature. See, I know why Paul cried out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" See, I know that what he wrote was true. But I'm happy that he didn't stop with verse 24. I'm glad that he wrote verse 25. See, because verse 25, that's gospel there. See, we can make all kinds of meaningless excuses. And up to verse 25, I got to tell you, everything sounds bad, right? I know I ought to do good, but I do bad. I know I shouldn't do bad, but I keep doing bad. All of that's bad until we get up to verse 25, and I love verse 25. The truth is, people, we've got a problem. It's a huge problem. It's a painful problem. It's a mortal problem. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. You want deliverance this morning from your sin, then you've got to kneel before your master. See, Jesus took care of it once and for all and forever. He paid the debt we couldn't pay. He restored the relationship we broke and couldn't reconcile, but he could. And that's why there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the name. And it is before him that we bow and we give to him our problem, and he delivers us from this body of death. Look, I get discouraged and distressed when I begin to look within myself and see all the things that I don't want to see. I can feel defeated when I begin to look back and I see how many times that I've made a mistake, I've sinned, and I've swore I'd never do it again, and yet I do it again. I can be dismayed as I look forward and realize that it probably isn't going to get any better. But if I want to be delivered this morning, I've got to look up to Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter not only of our faith, but of our salvation. Look, it has been pointed out before that people like Longfellow could take a piece of paper and write some words on it and make poetry, and that's called genius. Or people like Bill Gates can sign his name to a little piece of paper and make it worth millions of dollars. That's called riches. Or an artist can take a blank canvas and combine colors in such a way that they create a masterpiece, and that's called art. Well, I've got to tell you this morning that Jesus takes a sin-filled, ugly life. He washes it in his blood. He puts his spirit within it, and he makes a saint out of a sinner, and that's called salvation. And that's why he's Savior. And that's why he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Jesus took care of our problem. And once we reach out to those nail-scarred hands and he lifts us up, he lifts us out of our sin, and we start a grand journey with him. A journey where we give less room to sin and more room to righteousness. An old deacon in the very first church that I pastored would always pray, Lord, make it easier for me to do right and harder for me to do wrong. And you know, I've kept those words all these years, and I think there's value in praying that prayer. Lord, today I want it to be harder to do wrong than it's ever been before. And I want it easier to do what you want me to do. Look, sin will not go down without a fight. Sin will tell you that the more room you give to God, the more chance there is that God's going to make you do something you don't want to do. You're being lied to, folks, all of us. That's what sin does. It lies to us. It tells us that we won't be happy if we follow Jesus, or that somehow we won't be able to have fun if we follow Jesus, but it's just not true. And by the way, sin is not so much about what we do. It's a reflection of what we've chosen. It's our choice that we choose to live our lives the way that we want to live our lives, and we choose to put our lives ahead of God. It's my life. I'll do it my way. But Jesus took care of our problem. And sin does not have to get the best of us. We can live above it. I mean, in Jesus, we find out what life is supposed to be. This morning, you may have sin in your life, unconfessed sin in your life, and I'm here to tell you, Jesus saves. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to wait till next year. You don't have to change. You can't change. You simply come to Jesus, kneel before him, confess your sins, and forgiveness you will find. This morning, you may need strength. Life's got you down, and it's difficult, and it's hard. Well, I'm here to tell you, come talk to Jesus, because he'll give you strength. You may need direction in your life. You're trying to figure out exactly what it is that God wants. Well, Jesus leads. You may need help this morning. But I've always found it to be true. He provides whatever we need. People, we've got a problem. But we've got a bigger answer. And so we have to make a decision this morning. The decision is, what are we going to do with our problem? We can continue in it. We can try to ignore it. We can pretend it doesn't exist or it's not as bad as it is. Or we can come face to face with who we are before a holy and righteous God, and we can accept God's grace and God's mercy. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to get rid of my problem. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the fact that even though sin so often seems to get the upper hand in our lives, Lord, if we'll just give ourselves to you, if we'll just truly open our lives to you, that you can deal with our problem, that you have dealt with our problem, and that you will give us deliverance and freedom to follow you. Help us, Lord, that we will make the right choice with our problem this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As you stand this morning and as we sing, you know what you need to do. Please stand.
Please change the number 366. Number 366, in keeping what the pastor shared so ably, all to Jesus I surrender. The invitation is yours if there's a need in that life to surrender at this time. Sing it.
People, we've got a problem, but we've got a better answer and solution. Amen. And it's so very simple. One word. Jesus. Jesus. God bless you.
Blessing. That's what we want to do, is we leave from here into the world to be a blessing. Before you go back to the fellowship hall, let's just have the word of blessing right here now. Go back and enjoy your fellowship together, and then again enjoy the meal provided by our youth committee toward a matter of their, you know, gifts given. The gifts given will go toward their youth ministry. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the fellowship we have in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Lord, we are a family. We're a family redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. As we now leave the sanctuary of worship and fellowship and praise into the fellowship of hall of fellowship, may it be sweet fellowship. Bless the meal that has been provided, and may we use our strength from it for your glory until Jesus comes again. For we ask in his precious name with thanksgiving, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you, church, and you are dismissed.